This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Scott Roeder of Evidence Room is joining us. Do a little speculation on what might be going through the mind and what may be in the future for an incarcerated Chad Daybell. As he sits there now, and we've had a few weeks now to kind of simmer in the reality of what the Lori Vallow trial was all about, what was brought to the table. What do you think is going through the mind of Chad as he sits there behind bars right now?
Well, I think Chad is wishing he had Lori's lawyers because he needs to get that death penalty off the table. I think you're much more likely to keep the death penalty on the table for a man than you are for a woman. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds sexist, but you know, there's a lot of men that go on death row and very few women. It's very rare.
I wonder what the statistics are on that. Yeah,
the number one thing is, I think in his mind, is how do I get the death penalty off the table? And how does he get out of the jail and into the prison so he can start his cult in the prison?
Really? Because I'm wondering about that. If he is as, you know, religious as he seems, and this belief that people, when they're dead, they, you know, they repeat, they have multiple lives and all of that. I would be wondering if he's ready just to die from that angle of, fine, you know, you can kill me because I'm just going to, you know, regenerate over here. I think that would kind of be more of an ultimate test for him on how strongly he believes in what his religion is. However, it does totally go against his idea that he's going to be the king of Rexburg as the world ends.
Well, I think, you know, it all comes down to whether or not he believes the bullshit he says or not. And if he truly believes all the garbage that he's slinging, then yeah, he probably wants to die, and he might be a good candidate for, for a suicide in jail, which, you know, frankly, have at it, Chad. Save us some lunch money on feeding you for 10, 20 years. But I think it all comes down to, does he believe the garbage that he's been selling other people? Mm-hmm. I think not. Once you get out of the delusion, when you control all of your thoughts, to being incarcerated where the prison controls what you do. They control what time you go to the bathroom. They control what time you sleep, what time you eat, what time you get to see the sun, what time you don't, the work that you have to do. They control everything about your daily life. And it'll be very difficult for him to hold on to his convictions when he's being controlled every minute of his day. It'll come down to whether or not he believes what he's preaching. I don't think he probably believes it. I think he's, you know, very much, you know, like a serial killer as well, in that he was just trying to get money and to have a good life in Hawaii without the burden of kids and ex-wives and stuff. So I hope they keep the death penalty. It's funny. I've never been a proponent of the death penalty because of a lot of these cases where I've seen innocent people or mentally incapacitated people, especially in Texas during the George Bush administration, not to be political, but it was a fad. And listen, I'm not a political person. I'm not trying to say
record amount of deaths or capital punishment that took place during his administration. That's just a statistical fact.
So that being said, I've never really been a proponent of the death penalty because of some of the inherent mistakes that could pop up in the system. But in cases like this, I very much think we should keep it on the table for a guy like Chad.
I agree. And what I wonder about with this, because I've heard different arguments on what is most, I don't want to say advantageous, but I guess what's going to be more advantageous for the mental well-being and the mental health of the victims, of the families of these people that have to continue on with life. I've heard arguments from people that said, you know, initially when their perpetrator went on to trial and the death penalty was there and the trial went on, they were very much for it. And they thought, yes, this is going to be the best thing. And then it turned out well, after, you know, they were found guilty and they were sentenced to death, it turned into many, 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 far more years of legal wrangling and appeals and being still stuck in that circle of court with, you know, because it goes on forever with the death penalty.
Yeah.
It can take 10, 20, 30 years or more sometimes to get the actual punishment played out. But then that family still has to be drawn back in time and time again, sometimes to re-argue their case. And they never get a chance to just kind of move forward as if they would if it was someone who just gets sentenced to life without parole and it's pretty much open and shut. So I do wonder.
Yeah, you lock them up and forget about them. Yeah.
I do wonder what is, and I think that obviously should be asked of the victims of what would you rather be going through, you know? Life where he's going to be locked up and you don't have to hear about him anymore, or do you want to keep fighting until he actually does die? But I honestly think Chad's going to outlive if you know he doesn't get killed in prison. You know, the Carrie or Kay and Larry Woodcock and probably some of the others as well, and they'll end up dying themselves naturally without seeing this monster be put to death first. Would it be more peaceful for them to just know that he's not getting out?
I guess that's a good question, Tony. But you're right. I think you have to probe the victim's family, and unfortunately, the victim's family is related to these people, mm-hmm. right? So, and whether or not you feel Chad Daybell would if he wants to live, then I think you seek the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
If he wants death, I think you don't seek the death penalty. It's very much, you got to try to do the opposite of what Chad wants to do. Because I think if he wants to live and be in prison in general population, he's going to have interaction with other people. One of the main penalties of the death penalty, besides the death of itself, is you're in isolation
mm-hmm.
for the entire term of your stay. You have zero social contact with other people. You are in a cell 8x8 and you get to see nobody. You get to talk to nobody. You have PT time alone. But if you're in prison for life without the possibility, you get to go out into general population. You get to have social. You get to play basketball. You get to lift weights. You get to eat in the lunchroom and talk to other people where he could, you know, permeate his preaching all over again. I think a guy like Chad, he needs to be in isolation. We cannot let, I think this is a question you have to ask yourself if you're the prosecutor, do we let him stay in prison and keep preaching? Because he will. Or if we try the death penalty, he'll have nobody to preach to but himself. And I think that's less damage to society at large. And I say for a guy like him, you go for the death penalty, and even if he dies on death row of natural causes, at least he's alone and he doesn't get to infect anybody else.
How effective of a preacher do you think he would be, though, in prison, Chad? Obviously, it worked. And if you notice, within the trial, the main people who were kind of into him seemed to be women who really were seeking something. They were seeking some sort of salvation or answer to whatever problems were going on. There wasn't a lot of men in his circle that were like, yeah, I buy your bullshit. I would see that, honestly. My opinion is it would be difficult for him in prison. I think Lori could sell it, honestly, better than he can behind bars. How well or what kind of life do you think he would have in prison if he were put into general population? Would he be that successful as a preacher?
Well, you have to look at prison in a different light. You know, yeah, sure, it's just men in the prison, but society, no matter where it is, it's going to break down into people who are confident and people who are not, people who are delusional, people who are looking for a delusion and a distraction. And there's going to be a lot of people and men in prison that are going to be looking for some kind of salvation, some meaning to their life, which has got them to a place where they have no meaning. And I think a preacher who's preaching that kind of stuff, I think that his message could reach men and women, and in this situation, men in prison, I think he could be, he could get followers in prison. Because I don't think it's not about your sexual orientation, whether you're a man or a woman. I think it's about whether or not you have some kind of purpose. And when you look at people in prison, the number one thing that they lack is, what is their purpose? Mm-hmm. And Chad is the kind of guy that can fill that void with some really creative bullshit.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Scott Roeder of Evidence Room and his podcast, Crime Scene Time Machine. What you got going on over there this week, Scott?
Okay, over on Crime Scene Time Machine, we're not putting out an episode this week because we're doing a little bit of a deep dive. So next week, we're going to be putting out an episode of one of my favorite, if there can be such a favorite serial killer of all time. We're setting the clock of the Crime Scene Time Machine all the way back to 1930, Cleveland, Ohio. And we're going to be looking at the Mad Butcher of Kingsbury Run, the torso murderer, the murderer that was never convicted, but was able to bring down Elliot Ness, the greatest crime fighter of the 19th century, brought him down to his knees in Cleveland, Ohio, the Mad Butcher of Kingsbury Run. It's a deep dive, 1930s, the first documented serial killer in the United States. And then one quick shout out, I want to say a big congratulations to my nephew, Matthew Roeder, who just graduated from Kent State University. Matthew, I love you. Congratulations.
All right, definitely. Hey, if you like the podcast here, press subscribe wherever you download it so you don't miss any breaking updates, episodes, and discussions on the cases we're following for you. Want an ad-free experience to all of our podcasts and the True Crime Today family? All you got to do is sign up through Apple Podcasts. Get all of these episodes ad-free, and all of our podcasts, you get them right there. All the True Crime podcasts, commercial-free when you sign up through Apple Podcasts. Do check that out. Great for binge listening. Just saying, you got a long car ride maybe coming up here over the holiday weekend. Check it out. Listen ad-free. Even try it for 3 days free. Check that out. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.